Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Pure Property Podcast, where we talk about all things property and property investment. So, got a few things to catch up on today's episode. Firstly, how's things going with you, Matt? All okay?
Yeah, all good. I think we've had a busy couple of weeks, haven't we? Especially over, I mean, to be a little shout out to ourselves, we had one of our best months, didn't we, as a whole, as a team?
Yeah.
Which was really, really good. So it's good to hear in a way, I guess, for people listening as well, that business is still booming in terms of our market anyway. But yeah, it's all been good, very busy. But honestly, we can say it's a good busy, as we like to put it. So anything on your end? How have you been, Toby?
Busy. As you know, record-breaking month, as you mentioned there. I've had just busy time in general, just with track and the property world. There's still a lot of buyers out there, so that's keeping me on my toes. Had a nice weekend away with the family, as you know.
Yeah, nice.
taking them away, and it was more kids orientated, very activity based. When I go on these holidays, I tend to find myself quite like a skittish parent just when I'm there. But it's all good fun, all good. Good games and keeps them occupied, but keeps me
you young, no?
Well, to a degree, I feel a lot older when I come back. I think I need a holiday to recover from this breakaway because it was just non-stop and relentless and definitely tiring. But they had a good time, and that's the main thing. I'm glad to be back in the office and back into the swing of things. New month, which is good. So obviously August now. Summer month approaching, doesn't look like summer weather out there, but
no,
fingers
not at
crossed.
The moment.
But one of the things that was great to see to the end of last week was the latest Home Track report came out. Now, the previous episode we went over the market update, how we're seeing things, what's going on. So we won't go into too much detail, but I can go over a couple of the headline figures. So the first headline figure I'll cover is that projection is still sitting around a 5% drop in property prices as an average across the UK. So remember, that's not everywhere, that's an average. Now, they're also saying that buyer demand has decreased 18% over the last 2 months. Now, look, we have to remember with the mortgage market, everything that's going on with the Bank of England, interest rates, etc., that was to be seen that some demand may drop. And the annual UK house price inflation rate at the moment as an average is plus 0.6%. So it has slowed down. Now, just to sort of give my thoughts on that. Now, the slowdown to 0.6%, I'll start with that. Look, I did mention on the last episode when we were talking about the sort of the rates of house price inflation, I did mention that I would foresee it slowing down a little bit more as sort of the backlog from the interest rate rise and etc. starts to filter through, but nothing too unexpected there. Then the change demand, look, that was going to happen. There was going to be demand dropping out of the market due to everything that's going on with cost of living crisis, interest rates, Bank of England, etc., as we keep speaking about. Mm-hmm. And their prediction of 5% drop, yeah, as we mentioned last time, I think that's not too drastic in terms of where we've seen prices grow, and that is an average. Now, that drop and what they are noticing in terms of house price inflation slowing down is it's very location dependent. Mm. And we have mentioned this previously, yeah, that the affordable locations, places with good, solid economies are still performing relatively well. Their inflation's still at a slightly more favourable rate as well, which is good to see. So this is why we say it's very important to pick the correct location. And I can give examples of that. So if you look at Nottingham, that's still 2.1%. Birmingham, 2%. If we look at some of the other locations, so the second tier cities, for example, Wakefield 3%, Bolton 2.8%, Derby 2.7%. So a lot of these places, they are, as we've stated, more affordable. So the average house price, Wakefield 174,600, Bolton just shy of 169,000. So it just shows there the locations that you want to be focusing on. You want good, strong economies. As you can see, Manchester still performing well. Leeds, Nottingham, Birmingham, these places have good, strong economies, good regeneration plans, good regeneration going on, and they're still fairly affordable. It's places really in the south of the country, so like London, southeast, that are struggling more because of the affordability levels. And lastly, what I will say is, which is quite a positive sign to a degree when you're looking at the market as a whole, but demand, if we compare to 2019 levels, it's only down 6%. Now, 2019 was a standard property market. In that, at that time, nobody was complaining about the property market. It was performing solidly. So that's a good sign. And compared to that market as well, so even though demand's down 6% and there's a lot more going on now, so I don't think 6% is actually that bad, the stock of homes for sale compared to then is also down 7%. So we got stock down 7%, demand's only down 6%. So in comparison to 2019, it's not actually that bad of a market. And it's actually, I would say, quite a good market, especially when you take into consideration everything that has been going on. So I'm not changing my thought process the last time that I think we find ourselves seeing the market settle once the interest rates settle. We're hoping they're at the peak at the moment. Then I think it will just sort of carry on as normal. And we may even see a little bit of a boost as the market does settle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, Toby, what you mentioned there is showing once again, maybe looking from every angle before making a judgment on things and seeing initial articles, like we've said many a times on the podcast before, is that, yeah, don't judge it from face value straight off. I think it's always good to look into statistics like that, that really kind of open your eyes up and think, oh, actually, that there is more to it. Which I think is really important. But as you said, just going back off, obviously, briefly, what you've mentioned there, I think, as you mentioned last time, we kind of spoke about it, that it's not going to be a drastic change, is it, in terms of the conditions? We said we still got a long way to go before, I guess, it starts to maybe get better, as we would call it. But yeah, it's a long road. But honestly, I think some of those headlines and stats, when we look at it from a different point of view, like looking into those kind of the demand side of things as well, and realizing the supply issue as well, then yeah, kind of we have to factor that in.
And look, demand down 18% over the last 2 months, right? That sounds like a scary figure, and it's a headline figure. If you pick up on that, you're gonna think, oh,
straight away,
wow, yeah, property market's crashing, etc. But like I said, when you actually break down the figures, so yes, that's the last 2 months. But you think over the last 2-3 years, as we keep saying with the pandemic, what's been going on, how aggressive the market's been, that's like a bit of a drop in the ocean in comparison. So yes, demand is going to tail off. And especially, as we said, when you take into everything that's going on in the property market. So that to me is not bad, but that's why it's very important that we look at the figures in context, because then when we compare it to 2019, as I've just said, it's not that bad. It's pretty in line, and actually it's faring quite well. So that's a positive sign to see as well. And it really just, it does wind me up now. And there's specifically a doom and gloomer who's just hoping for a property crash. And there's quite a few out there, but there's one in particular. And if you are listening to this and you know that I'm talking about you, I hope that you change how you're operating. And if it's not you, but this resonates with you, then you need to change how you're operating, because there's people out there that are scaremongering, saying about a crash coming, and they're not seeing any other perspective. They won't talk about good news. They won't talk about positive aspects. They're literally focusing on negative parts of what's going on in the property market and just really hammering home a crash. And it's for an agenda, which winds me up. It's for business purposes. They're trying to get a following, create a buzz, and it's all tailored to their business and what they want to do. And it really winds me up, because like we all always want to do and we will do, is we want to add balance. So we will report the figures, we will report the data, we'll look at it,
good with the bad,
the good with the bad, and then we'll make intelligent decisions from our point of view based on that. And will offer advice based on that as well. I'll never paint everything as rosy and absolutely amazing at this moment in time. Even some of the stuff I've been doing on sort of Twitter and threads, which I'm sort of getting on now as well, or X, as we should call Twitter. It's no longer Twitter. I'm always saying, like, I'll post the positive stuff and I will always have a caveat that, look, I'm not saying the market's booming. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying this is a positive take from the market. So me personally, as I'm investing now and I'm active in the market, this is how it's affecting my decision making, and this is my take on it because it's how I'm interpreting the market. So yeah, just had to get that off my chest because there's still some doom and gloomers, even with everything that's going on. And it's, and the worst thing is, they've been saying this probably for about a year and a half, that the crash is imminent. Like, it was supposed to crash, I think, end of last year. Didn't. It was supposed to crash beginning this year. Didn't. And I'm like, yeah, you can keep saying it, and at some point, maybe in 2 years, it will happen. You say, yeah, I told you, but it's not happening right now. And what frustrates me is it might be putting off buyers, not just investors, first-time buyers, or people in the market from actually moving because they're fearing some sort of crash, which doesn't look like it's going to materialize. When we're looking at the fundamentals of the market, it's actually okay.
Because Dave down the road's Instagram said so.
No, more like sort of Pete in the pub, and he said, oh yeah, it's gonna crash, houses in my area going down X, Y, and Z. But yeah, it's just quite comical. But another bit of good news which we can pick up on is that some newspapers, media outlets are now reporting and filtering through that some lenders are actually cutting their rates, major lenders as well, which is a positive sign. So I've just got one example here from The Guardian, where they're talking about Nationwide, HSBC and TSB, looking to cut their rates slightly, which is very, very positive. So that's a good sign to see that lenders are starting to calm very down. Good. As we said, a lot of lenders bumped their rates up because they were uncertain about the market. They were trying to predict maybe what would happen. They were thinking the Bank of England
they're
was going
to... trying to protect themselves in a way, aren't
they? Yeah,
they're
creating a buffer there with the uncertainty. And now I think they're seeing where inflation has come down and it's dropping, although it's not where it needs to be. They're seeing more positive signs in the market, so that will now be factored into their rates. So that's good. I hope it continues. I hope more lenders follow suit. And hopefully we can see some better
results.
It
is the way, isn't it? Especially when... The big boys, we should call them, do something quite bold, then I think a lot of people and hopefully other lenders will hopefully follow suit. But yeah, it's definitely some positive news.
Yeah, it's good news for people obviously looking to either remortgage or take out mortgages as well. So it's a positive sign, and hopefully it can give a bit more confidence in the market.
Oh, I believe so.
When they start to do this, other lenders will see it as competition. So then they all start competing a bit more. So what you tend to find is when a few lenders do it, especially the big players, a lot of other lenders will start saying, well, hang on a second, we need to win some business here. And they'll start dropping rates, maybe doing more favorable products, doing better loan to values to some degree. So it'd be good, and it's positive for the market. But again, not something that's been thrown about
massively.
And when you still get clients that mention about mortgages and are concerned.
Yeah, we get stuff all the time, which I think is, with this happening, as you said, Toby, I think it generates hopefully some more people, because we speak to people all the time. We generally will have a certain percentage of buyers who are holding off or wanting to see what happens with the market, which we always have those people that will sit on the fence for whatever reason. And look, some reason in some kind of aspects of kind of what they're saying, you can understand it. But in regards to as a whole, when it comes down to certain points, as we mentioned even just now, it's when you need to look into the due diligence side and make sure what you're doing, because at the end of the day, but you might miss an opportunity, and a lot of these people unfortunately will. But I do believe honestly that will basically, I think personally, for more so first time buyers, will bring a real spark to people who are initially wanting to invest, take that first step, but they're a little bit hesitant because of the rates maybe being a little bit not as favorable as they maybe were 12 months ago. So I think initially with that happening, it will definitely generate a lot more sales and a lot more business, which will be, I think, good for the property market in general.
Yeah, look, like you said, I think first-time buyers, first-time investors, there's a lot of people out there will look at the market, and if it is their first or they're quite new to it all, it's going to be even more daunting than it would in just like a nice, steady, completely especially settled market.
Especially as you said, with Dave on Instagram, if he's posting about it, then of course it's going to make them even more worried.
Well, that's the thing. There's so much conflicting information out there. And I think you have to be very careful where you draw your information from. You want to make sure that you're looking at every angle as well. Like I've just spoken about, the data that we saw on the latest Home Track report, we'll look at it in context. What are you comparing it to? Is it location specific?
Mm.
Because a lot of people will look at sort of the average data for the whole country and be like, it's a bad time to invest. No, it's still quite a good time to invest. You just need to be looking for the right deal and the right places. Location's key. Like one of the sort of common factors that keeps coming out over the past 3-4 months when looking at the data is affordable places are still showing resilience. And as long as you're picking locations that have got good economies, good regeneration plans, which is something we look for anyway when we're choosing locations, you should be fine, because these are factors and fundamentals that will keep the property market strong. So make sure you're looking into all of this. Make sure you're doing your due diligence and reach out to people, experts, companies such as ourselves. Get as much information that you can, and then make a nice calculated decision based on all the information you're getting. Just make sure you're not being misled. Don't read a headline. Don't take for face value something that someone is saying. Just make sure you're looking into it and getting down to the nitty gritty, because look, it's like anything. If you're investing, if you're doing anything at all, just look at the data. Data doesn't lie usually. Obviously you have to be careful the source of the data, but It's quite hard facts when you look at certain, like land registry data, for example. They're completed transactions that have taken place, prices that have gone through. It's there in black and white. You can literally go down there. That's the bare bone that you can look at when looking at locations, looking at facts for that location in terms of what prices are doing. And that alone will set you up a good foundation when making decisions.
For sure.
Right, the next thing to talk about, which is something we've mentioned in previous episodes, is to do with the housing crisis to a degree, i.e. building homes, providing homes for people. Now, we know there's a shortage, and the reason we're speaking about this is because in some of the news very recently, we've had Michael Gove, who's the housing secretary for government. He's come out and he's made an announcement about his plans and what he's looking to do. And it's quite interesting because he set out these plans and really they come down to the fact of the matter to be able to solve, and I use inverted commas there, the housing crisis. They're looking to focus, as they've spoken about previously and they've already done, on brownfield sites. So brownfield sites can be old commercial places, bits of land where there used to be businesses on, some sort of trading going on there. This in comparison to greenbelts, so greenbelts more sort of countryside, green open space. It's pretty much
used land.
Exactly. They're trying to avoid that and they want brownfield and they're trying to transform some of these unused buildings.
I think everyone will know in a city centre or wherever they visit, there's always going to be that building, isn't it, that's run down or hasn't been used for years. It used to be an old fire station, or it could be anything, an old office place that's just abandoned. And to be honest, I quite like the route that they're looking at there, because I think everyone likes something with more purpose. And if they can repurpose the location and bring something like that, it normally creates a much more of a better environment, I find anyway.
Yeah, and I get it. Look, it's easy to convert these sort of buildings. Yeah,
they're quicker to build, aren't they?
Yeah, I just, like a lot of people within the property industry, I just don't think it's the solution to the problem. So they're looking to relax even more so the sort of planning conditions on converting these bits of land, these brownfield sites, which hopefully then means people will be able to go on and quickly build more homes, which is needed because we know there's a shortage. However, they're setting out, if I'm looking at the facts here, they're aiming to deliver 1 million homes before the next general election, which is thought to be as soon as 2024, okay, next year. Now, their quota year on year for new homes, build new homes, has been 300,000 for the past many years. They've never hit that. So how they're now expecting, just by doing this, which has already been done to a degree, to suddenly create 1 million homes is crazy. Now, I kind of get why they're doing this, because if you're building, if you're transforming old retail premises or old office blocks, you're going to be creating apartments. Now, in those apartments, in a smaller site, you can create, let's say, 100 apartments, for argument's sake, rather than other sites maybe where you could only get 50 houses on. So their numbers are going to look more favorable if they're converting these buildings into homes, and it's going to be quicker to do so because you're converting these buildings. You're not building from the ground up. So I can see why they've done it, but again, it just seems like they're just trying to cut corners and they're not really delivering the solution that's needed for the housing crisis that we've got.
Yeah, like I think in terms of that, I think when talking about that, I think it will get a lot of people on board in terms of, as we said, repurposing locations where there is a rundown location or an area that's unused in a sometimes a good location, or a lot of the time a good location in city centres or town centres. So I think from face value, once again, it sounds good. It sounds like people in the community would be up for that, getting something new in the area, which would hopefully repurpose that location or that area of it being quite unused. But I do think as a whole, as you said, Toby, I think the figures are unrealistic to put it in that sense. I think, as you said, you've given us some stats there in terms of what they have delivered in the past and if they've struggled already. I think to whack another, 700,000 on top is a little bit optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just politics at the end of the day. I think this is something that's really grating on people, the housing crisis. It always has done, and housing has always been quite a focus point for governments, for political parties, because they know, obviously, excuse the pun, that it hits home with people and it is an important factor. So it is always going to be a focus, and they'll do stuff like this to try and win votes, which, again, I just think it's very short-sighted. But which is quite interesting, actually. Keir Starmer's come out and said that he would actually, as a Labour government, give more powers to councils for greenbelt building, which I was actually quite surprised about. Although I think correct. I mean, greenbelt, I know we want to keep land and we want to keep places green, and especially that sort of villages and nice rural locations. However, look, the fact of the matter is we need more properties, we need more houses, we need more homes for people to buy, to rent, for councils to be able to place people into as well. The lists are just massive for their waiting lists for people needing council homes. So I actually agree with Keir Starmer on that. And it's quite a good play from himself there, because it's against what Conservative are saying. And it kind of does make sense, because if you slot that in alongside the brownfield sites that you can build on as well, then that is definitely going to create more and more homes. Now, be interesting to see how that's done while trying to sort of protect some of the sort of heritage or nice locations of these rural places where a lot of greenbelt is. But I think if done correctly, it could definitely work.
Yeah, I think as a whole, as you mentioned there, Toby, it's something that, look, we hope that they'll step up their game in a way, because, as you said, that there is such a massive supply and demand issue in regards to with the UK. And, yeah, fingers crossed, it's something that will be eventually resolved. I know it's going to take a long, long time. But as you said, with the right things in place, then I don't see why that doesn't speed up the process. As you said, maybe a mixture between the two. And maybe a time for someone else to come in and see what they can do.
Yeah, we will see. But it's also showing the Conservatives' view on trying to build inner cities up as well. I mean, again, that does make sense, because a lot of these cities, like your Manchester's, your Birmingham's, your Leeds, etc., they are doing well in terms of economy, trying to grow. This is where a lot of the economy in these locations will thrive because they're inner city locations. Mm. Further afield, of course, yes, homes are needed, but in terms of the economy thriving, people are just going to be commuting into the city. So I get their point of view in focusing on those areas, but I just think that they need to take a view on the Greenbelt as well to really try and see if they can help provide more homes, because the shortage is real. And as we say, in a selfish way, as investors and landlords, it's not a bad thing because it keeps the property market propped up. If we had a massive influx of supply, obviously that would sort of even out the balance and may settle prices even more so. But it is something that's needed overall.
Yeah, I think as well, something which we get it sometimes as well. I think when there's lots of buildings or works going on in a certain location, a lot of people think, is it going to be kind of saturated in terms of that, which I think we do get quite often with some clients thinking that areas will be saturated. But I think when you look into the finer details, as we kind of can see, that there is such a supply and demand issue that...
Well, look at Manchester. So obviously we've got a lot of sites in Manchester that we're dealing with. And like you said, the first thing clients say is, oh, look, they're building loads there. There's so much being built. There's so much completing like right now. Surely that the market's going to be saturated and my property's going to sit there empty. Well, again, look at the data. Manchester's had one of the best growth rates for rental prices recently, and it's continued to do so because demand is so high. And it cannot keep up with the supply issue. Demand is massive, and it's just really putting pressure on the rental prices. So in short, yes, they're building a lot, but it's actually needed, and it's actually not enough. Hence why prices are doing what they're doing.
We know about there's waiting lists, isn't there, in many of the projects that we deal with, and when they're completed, there's literally people lining up ready to rent because, and that's, I think as well, Toby, to mention, it's not just in your standard apartments. These are some really high caliber kind of high, I guess, rental incomes that you're going to need to be able to, you're going to need to earn a decent amount of money to pay the rent there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we found somewhere, I think it was a 2-bed in Manchester. I had a conversation with one of the developers side and they rented it out. 2-bedroom prime city centre rented out for £2,700 in Manchester.
Yeah.
So it shows the market in terms of rental is booming there.
Yeah.
And there is a real demand for it.
Well, I mean, there's the new, we got a new site coming in Manchester, which is those houses.
Yeah, we do.
So we've actually got some freehold houses, which we're bringing to market. And when I've been speaking to local letting agents, I mean, the feedback has been very, very positive, and they're all saying that there's going to be a very high demand for this. They need that sort of stock. They're crying out for that sort of stock. So that's really positive to see. So we're getting some really good positive rental figures on that. Good appraisals coming in. So that, I think it's only 8 months off completion as well. So they're anticipating that to be in high demand once the investors have bought it and they're going to put it to market. Again, the houses as well, which there's not many of those available at the moment. The demand's even shorter for good family homes. So these will most likely fly off the shelves, and it'd be interesting to see the sort of final rental market value that gets put on these, especially 8 months down the line, because we're still seeing that growth while these are being built. And that's one of the good things about buying off plan, is you're experiencing that growth while they're still being built. Yeah. And you're securing at today's price, even with the discounted price that we've got on these as well, secured with the developer. So that's going to be exciting to see when they launch.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, Toby, I think we don't always factor in, everyone's always talking about the capital growth aspect, but we're not always looking at also, since the moment from you buying it to it completing, is the rental values and yeah, if they're going up, I think it was 10%, over 10% in Manchester, then yeah, there's no reason why them figures won't go up in 8 months' time.
Well, just one of my videos that I posted last week, I think it was one of my Instagram videos, and I was talking about the rental market, and a property investor actually commented like, oh my God, is this what the rental market's doing? Like, they were shocked about the increase on the rental prices. And that's a property investor. Like you said, sometimes it's very focused on the capital growth, which we know is important, but then they don't actually factor in the rental growth. When you couple those things together, or especially in today's market, if you're picking locations where the growth and the economy in that sort of hyper-local area is good and it's solid and things are settled and still doing well, they're affordable, and the rents are still rising aggressively there as well, well, you're definitely onto a winner. And there's a few locations, as I said, like Manchester, to name a few, Leeds, Sheffield, some other city areas like Bolton, we've just mentioned there as well. You're a commuter sort of location. Yeah,
a lot of these to Manchester, cities, isn't there?
Yeah, Wakefield's another one that's doing well on price growth. Good solid rental market. It's commuting distance to Leeds as well. So there's a lot of these factors to look in. Obviously, city centres are still very good, safe bets when you're looking at sort of the regen going on in a lot of these big city centres. Like they've just announced some more money going into, I believe, Leeds, I think, has got some more money going into it, which is going to be exciting to see. So these locations are very good places to factor into when sort of doing your research and trying to hone in on somewhere. As we said, we don't like investing always where we are based, where we live, because it is restrictive. Investing remotely and being able to go anywhere and follow the money is very, very important, as we say, especially in markets such as today.
For sure. Just to mention another place as well, we've got the new Birmingham one as well coming up, haven't we? Which is in the Smithfields Master Plan, which is a £2 billion. Which is going to be a massive regen, £2 billion being put into it. And yeah, it's once again, like we said, with your Leeds, with kind of money being pumped into there, Manchester, Liverpool, it's exciting times. And as you mentioned, Toby, as always, it's just knowing when and where to enter these.
That's the thing, it's about timing this purchase right. Like if you're getting in early, like over the period of time, over the next 5 years, it's going to work, that investment's going to work even harder for you. It's not about, I think one of the good sayings is, it's not about timing the market, sort of timing when you're going to buy, as in waiting for a crash or seeing when it's going to go up. It's about time in the market, so how long you are actually in that market. So again, if you're sitting there over the next 5-10 years, then you're going to do very well. If you're sitting there trying to time the market, I'm waiting for the crash, you know, I've got a bundle of cash that I'm sitting on, and as soon as a crash happens, I'm going to go on a buying spree and I'm going to become the Warren Buffett of property.
Everything's cheap, exactly.
Literally. And waiting for that to me is an opportunity cost. People will get lucky and they might find themselves in a position when the market is in a real bad downturn and you can get properties very cheap because there's some sort of fire sales happening, but you can't predict that. If you're sitting on that money and waiting for that to happen, the opportunity cost can be very, very high, and what you're missing out on and the potential returns you're missing out on, because what if it doesn't happen for another 5-6 years? Because if we look at the 18-year property cycle, if you factor that in, it's not going to be for another couple of years if you follow that by the book. I mean, we know that's not obviously 100% accurate, but it's all about, as I said, the time you spend in the market. And this is why we're big, big advocates on being a medium to long-term investor, because the property market in the UK is very forgiving. So if you're in for the long term, you'll do well overall. Hence why there's a lot of these landlords that are exiting now that have sat on their properties, done very well.
Made their money,
and they're sort of coming to the end of their time period in property. They're cashing in and going on, and we'll have the new wave of landlords, investors coming through, which will be exciting. So hopefully they're sort of good, nice, A-star grade caliber of investors.
Toby, in 30, 40 years, that might be us selling our portfolios, hopefully.
Nah.
Setting up shop.
Never. I'm holding to the end. Literally holding to the end. No, I think that's been sort of what we wanted to share today. It's interesting seeing sort of these articles, what's going on in the market, because as we say, it can be scary sometimes seeing these headlines, sort of having to sort of cut through a lot of the rubbish that's out there, cutting through this sort of attention grabbing stuff, which is there just to get you to read the article, and they don't sort of tell you the full picture, full story. There's sometimes hidden agendas between what's out there. So again, speaking to people in the industry is very important. One of the doom and gloomers that I mentioned earlier, I mean, he's even up against mortgage brokers like mortgage brokers are sort of saying, well, look, stuff's going a bit better now. And he's literally at their throats like, oh, you're not giving the correct information. I'm like, what has a mortgage broker got to really advocate for booming markets? They're just there to provide a mortgage. Like whether it's a lesser sort of market or whether it's a better market, doesn't really matter to them to a degree, because there'll always be clients that are getting mortgages. And all the mortgage broker was saying is that, look, rates are coming down, like we just mentioned from the article.
Saying what's happening.
And yeah, this particular doom and gloomer, like I said, if you know who you are, yeah, I hope you're listening to this. I hope you take note. Change your ways, please, because you're really bugging me. And again, you've got mortgage brokers that are seeing stuff like this. People in the industry that do have sense about them may look at it from a different point of view as well. It's always good getting different matters of opinion. And as I said, then making your own educated opinion on that as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you on the next episode. Is there anything, we'll have a little think about what topics we'll go over. If there's anything that anyone wants to highlight or suggest, then we're happy to talk over certain topics as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. If you've got anything you want us to speak about, just send it in. We're always happy to have a look at different things to go over, any questions you have, anything that's maybe market related right now, or maybe just general property investing, property buying questions. Feel free to put them in and we'll be happy to help. We'll wrap it up there. So thanks for joining us again for another episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.